to sing Yadid Nefesh before we start Kabbalat Shabbat. Girls have seen this a little bit. Anybody ever sing this beautiful song? Nice song. Yadid Nefesh. Nice song. I like it. So, what's Yadid Nefesh? Why are we singing Yadid Nefesh? So, I'll just share two interesting vignettes, two highlights. First of all, Yadid Nefesh, if you look at the first letter of each paragraph, it spells out something very special. What am I referring to? Anybody know? No? Yadid Nefesh. Exactly. Yadid Nefesh spells out God's name. So, Yud, Ke, Vav, Ke, Yadid Nefesh. And each chapter head starts with one of the names of Hashem. So we're bringing Hashem's name, we're drawing closer and closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when we do Yadid Nefesh. Yadid Nefesh is written by a great Kabbalist. Okay, he lived in Sfat. Not Rav Yonatan. Rav Azkiri, that was his name. And he writes many, many beautiful piyutim. And all of his songs are a lot of Kabbalistic, mystical intentions, like bringing the name of God into your soul. Like we said, Yud Kei Vav Kei. So, whether we understand every single word, it's less important. Just understand we're singing this song, we're bringing Hashem's presence closer to our souls. And there's something really sweet. Yadid. What is that? Yadid. What does that mean in Hebrew? Yadid. It means a friend. Okay? Also a chaver. You're right. But also Yadid can mean a friend. And there's some beautiful imagery. Yadid is like yad, yad, which means hand, hand. So it's like a friend holding hands. So when we talk about our Yadid Nefesh, and that is our soul friend, so who's that? That's Hashem. Hashem is our soul friend, and you can just imagine, you want to meditate upon this in your Friday night davening, holding hands with HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
So when you're... Does the name
Yadid mean friend? Yadid means friend. Yadid Ya means a friend of Hashem. Yeah? So Yadid means friend. So when we sing Yadid Nefesh this Friday night, if you sing it, you can imagine holding hands with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. So sweet. Okay? All right. Another minhag that some people have before Kabbalat Shabbat is Svaradim often sing Shir HaShirim. Some Ashkenazim also do it. Why Shir HaShirim? Why specifically do we sing this book? So it's Shlomo Melech's book. It's a love song between the Jewish people and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Very hard to understand it, very, very deep, but the basic idea is we're expressing our love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so that's why many people sing Shir HaShirim. And if you girls are already going to the Kotel, I have to share with you one of my favorite insights about the Kotel and Shir HaShirim. So at the Kotel, there's a beautiful ark. I show this off twice a day because it's part of my job at the Kotel tunnels. And in this ark, it's written Shir HaShirim. So why Shir HaShirim? Because it has a pasuk. The pasuk goes like this. Hine ze omed me'achar kotelinu. Behold, I, Hashem, stand behind the kotel, behind the wall. Mashkiach min achalanot, mitzitz min acharakim. Peering and watching over you behind the wall. Okay? So the Ramban in the 13th century writes, what's the wall where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching over us? Can you guess? Where's that special wall where we feel like Hashem's presence is really, really...
Kotel.
The Kotel. That's the Kotel. The Kotel that is mentioned in Shir HaShirim is an allusion to the Western Wall, because that's the place that the Zohar says, the Shekhinah lo zaza. God's presence never left the Western Wall. Okay? So that's why they put that Shir HaShirim, to remind us that this is a place where during the good times, during the bad times, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching over us a little bit more tightly, a little bit extra at the Holy Kotel. And I myself experienced many, many stories of divine providence at the Western Wall. If we had time, I could share some stories, maybe later, maybe afterwards. But you can think about that on your Friday night or Shabbos morning when you get a chance to daven at the Kotel. Think about that this is our special place where the Shekhinah has never completely left. We can feel Hashem's love a little bit stronger. Yeah, you guys with me so far? Okay, so that's, if you're writing notes, highlight number one of Yedid Nefesh and Shir HaShirim. The theme is feeling the love of a Kaddish Baruch. Okay. Now, we have six Tehillim that make up Kabbalat Shabbat. Who remembers who originally began this custom of singing Tehillim before we start our Maariv on Friday night? You're going to learn about it later in the year. So if you don't learn, who invented Kabbalat Shabbat? Where did that come from? So David HaMelech wrote the Tehillim. So you're not wrong. He wrote the Tehillim. But who came up with the custom of saying the Psalms of David HaMelech on Friday night?
Like this group of like rabbis who like used to go to a field and like dog for jobs in the field, but I don't know who they were.
Nachal. So you're both right. It's actually the Kabbalists, the mystics of Tzfat, who invented this idea that we're going to say Tehillim to greet Shabbat. So when you go to Tzfat, I'm sure Jason will tell you about, this is a spot where the Arizal, you know, first went out to the beautiful fields and sang Kabbalat Shabbat. They didn't completely make it up. It's mentioned in the Gemara that people would go out to the fields and greet Shabbos. Okay, but they came up with this idea of saying these Tehillim. Okay? Yeah, can I share with you a cute story about that?
Yeah.
Okay, so I hope you remember this story when you get to Tzfat. Just an amazing memory. So about, I don't know, 14, 15 years ago, I finished the army, and I was a madrich on birthright. They let me be one of the madrichim. And I went up to the rabbi, because I wasn't in charge. I was just a lowly guide. And I said, I have one request. When we get to Tzfat, can we do a Karl Bach davening? Because I happen to know Tzfat pretty well. I know the Karl Bach shuls. And I knew these secular kids, they could just get one Kabbalat Shabbat singing and dancing. It would be amazing for them. They'll never forget it. Sorry? What type of davening? Karl Bach is when you sing and dance the whole Kabbalat Shabbat. That's Rav Shlomo Karl Bach came up with these new gunim about 40 years ago, and it's kind of swept over the Jewish world, and now it's become almost like everybody's singing Karl Bach when you go to the Kotel on a Friday night. So I know the scene in Tzfat, their Karl Bach davenings are really strong and fun and sweet, so please, can I take them to the Karl Bach meeting? And so the rabbi said, no, I have a better idea. We're going to go to this other shul. It's really pretty, and sorry. I said, okay, what are you going to do? You know, I didn't run the show. I wasn't a tour guide back then. I just went with the ride. And they're all going down, all the way down the hill to this beautiful Breslov shul to do Shabbos. And I lost the group somehow. I was talking with somebody. I was giving out my kippah clips. I'm doing my thing. And I ran down. I really wanted to find the group. And I was so nervous because this is like my one Friday night with these secular kids. And we got to light them up on Shabbos. And I ran down, and they're not there. They're not at the shul. And I'm really nervous. I'm going to miss my one shot. So I didn't know what to do. So I ran, looking all around, all the way up the hill. And you'll understand when you get to Tzfat, like it's a big hill. So like I'm literally schwitzing. And I'm getting all the way up the hill. I still can't find them. So I run all the way back down. It's like 25 minutes later. And where are they? And finally, I see them. They're on this little area. So I run to them. And what happened? They said, oh, they had done an early Shabbat, Breslov, so we don't have a place to daven. So what do we do? So I said, don't worry, I got this covered. See, Hashem ruled like me, not like you rabbis. So come with me. I know a place to daven. So they're all like coming with me. There's like 40 people, and I'm leading them. And the rabbi's like, all right, well, we don't have a choice. We'll let this guy do what whatever he wants. So I went to the Karl Bach shul, and there was no room because we were so late. And it's fine. The shuls are really tight. So I'm like, okay, don't worry. I know another Karl Bach shul. Come. So at this point, two other groups are like trailing me, two other birthright groups that were there because it looks like I know what I'm doing. And they also didn't have any space in the shuls. So there's like 120 people after me. And we go to the second shul. And there's also no space. It's like totally, we're really late. So I'm like, and everyone's like looking at me. I'm like, come with me. We'll find another place. So we run down to this other spot. And I realized, okay, this is right the spot that all the tour guides stop in. It's right where the Arizal invented Kabbalat Shabbat. But I was saying the mystics invent. So this is right next to the Arizal Shul. And I get up and I'm giving them this introduction. And guys, okay, we don't have to say all the words. We're just going to hold hands and sing songs and I'll lead. And I knew it by heart. And as I'm like giving this dramatic speech, the rabbi gets out and he's like, shh, we're trying to dive in here. I'm like, all right, fine. Guys, come with me. We'll go over there. We went right like a minute away. There's a little mountain area. And we said, okay, let's do it. And we did it. And we sang and we danced. We didn't do much from the sitter, but a lot of singing and nai-na-nai, and everyone had a great time. I lost my voice. And here's the craziest thing. Afterwards, some tour guide comes up to me. He says, you know, where you davened is actually the spot where the Arizal invented Kabbalat Shabbat. That's the spot. The shul moved over there because it was an earthquake. But where you ended up actually leading Kabbalat Shabbat is actually where Kabbalat Shabbat was invented. So it's a crazy story. What? I sometimes tell that story to kids, yeah.
The kids who were
with did I tell the kids? I think I did. It was a long time ago, so I don't remember. It was just to me like, you try your best, and Hashem sends you where He needs to send you, you know? So anyways, Kabbalat Shabbat was invented on Friday night. And to me, Friday night is all about ratzon, your desire to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no halacha. You don't have to sing. You don't have to dance Kabbalat Shabbat. If you skipped it, I'll be honest, you're not a bad Jew, right? If you just said one day and whatever, and you just went straight to Marv, you're not violating halacha. But Friday night, to me, is that time when we want to express our love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so Am Yisrael has kind of came up with this minhag to go out to the fields and greet Shabbos, and now to go and sing, and especially if you see it, you'll see at the Kotel, a lot of singing and dancing and a lot of beautiful new customs. Okay, question? Yeah.
Are like, girls usually don't say
Arbi,
so are you supposed to say Kalasha and then say Arbi also?
Girls can choose to say Arbi. They want to. They get a mitzvah. So they don't have to. But if you want to do it, then why not? So I would certainly encourage a girl to dive in the Kabbalat Shabbat and Arvit if they want to, if they can. They don't have to, but it's a good thing to do. Okay? All right. So now let's talk a little bit about the Kabbalat Shabbat itself. So there are six Tehillim, six Psalms of Kabbalat Shabbat. And why are there six? It corresponds with the 6 days of the week. So mystically, Kabbalistically, when we're saying each of these Tehillim, it's like we're fixing a day of the week that maybe we didn't daven with so much Kavanah. But if I sing that Mizmor Shir with a lot of Kavanah, somehow it fixes those Kavanahless davenings that we had throughout the week. So it's a beautiful thing if you can say all six Tehillim. Sfaradim have a different custom. They don't necessarily do all six. They often start at Mizmor LeDavid. Again, since this is all customs that emerged later in Jewish history, you're going to have some disparities between Ashkenazi and Sfaradi Jews. Now, what do the Tehillim actually talk about? So we don't have enough time to actually go through every single Tehillim, but I'll give you the general idea. General idea, and you'll read it on your own, please God, is we're imagining a time of Mashiach, Messianic era. We're going back with David HaMelech, and we're just pretending like the Mashiach is already here. What does Mashiach have to do with Shabbat? Ma Kesher? What's the relationship between Shabbat and Mashiach? That's also true. Mashiach can't come on Shabbos. He could, but he's not supposed to come Saturday night.
Elevated to a level of like a Mashiach.
So first of all, maybe on a spiritual level, we're elevated to a higher level, like a Messianic type of level. Yeah? What else? What other connections are there between Mashiach and Messianic era and the Shabbat? Sabbath? So they're similar in that the goal of the week is Shabbos. And the goal of our existence is Mashiach, is a Messianic era when things will be spiritual and beautiful and holy and good. So Shabbos is often called is like a code word for the Messianic era. Like it's not just when we say Shabbos, we could be referring to seventh day of the week, or we could be referring to the 7,000th year, which is that perfect, beautiful era that is going to be the Messianic era. And so when we sing these Tehillim talking about the Messianic era, it's like we're on Shabbos, it's like we're almost already there. That's what you can imagine when we're doing those songs. Yeah? You're with me? Okay, so I now want to tell you another great story about that. So about 4 years ago, I had the zechut to do a shlichus. I was sent by an organization to teach Judaism to Jews in a place called Papua. Okay, Papua is near Papua New Guinea. It's a little island in the middle of nowhere. And there have been a community. Some of them have been claimed to be lost tribes of the Jewish people. And others recently were Christians and recently became Jewish. Like, decided that Judaism's right. It's a crazy story. And they live together in this kind of Jewish community. Some of them halachic Jews. Some of them probably not halachic Jews, but would love to convert. And I was sent there to teach them about Judaism. Okay, you with me? So I get there assuming that they will know nothing. It's like, I'm there to teach them. And they had a lot of questions. They were the most sweetest, most curious students I've ever had. Literally, we had a question and answer session from lunch until Shalosh Shuras with no break. It was just like, they were just like so curious and thirsty for Torah. They're such a beautiful community. I still keep up with them. I send them Torah videos pretty much every day. And the highlight for me was Friday night. They like drove us out to this beautiful island. Somehow the community owns this island. And they asked me as the rabbi to lead Kabbalah Shabbat. And I figure I'm going to have to like, you know, schlep them along, grab their hands. And I start singing and they know every single song. And not only did they know, they loved it. And they kept dancing and singing, and I like singing and dancing. They were like, they made me tired. After an hour and a half, we were still singing and dancing on this random island in the middle of nowhere. What happened is that they have YouTube. So someone sent them YouTube videos, and they learned a lot about Jewish music. They really know the same songs that they sing over and over again, but they know the Karl Bach songs. And I mamish felt like I was in the Messianic era. We're just sitting there singing and dancing in this random island, speaking about Mashiach with these random Jews, kind of, it was just unbelievable. So anyways, I bless you guys to feel a little bit of that, to feel a taste of that, like you're just losing and you're in a different world and you're just singing and so happy to be a Jew. Be'ezrat Hashem. Okay, so now let's do a little bit of the words of Kabbalat Shabbat. Actually, one more story that I have to share. I told you girls that the mystics invented Kabbalat Shabbat, but actually it's not completely true. There is a Talmudic source of someone way, 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 way before that, the first person who created the concept of singing to Hashem on Shabbos. Anybody take a guess? Who would be that person who created David? It would have been an excellent guess. It's half true. But it actually goes even before David. It's Adam. Adam Arishon. Okay, so the Midrash recounts, it's mentioned in the Gemara, that when was the world created? It was created on the sixth day. That sixth day was Friday, right? So Friday is coming, Adam is created, and suddenly he sees it's getting darker and darker and darker. The sun is going down. So what does Adam think is going to happen? That's it. The world's over. He's never experienced a sunset before. So he thinks when the sun comes down, he's going to die, and the world is over. The sun comes down, it's Shabbos, and he's still alive. You know, he didn't die. Life continues. So, and especially because the sin happened on the sixth day, according to the Gemara, so he had a lot of reason to think maybe that's it, God's going to end the world. Shabbos comes, he's still alive, and he sings a song. What is the song that Adam HaRishon sings? Mizmor Shir LeYom HaShabbat. That song, Mizmor Shir LeYom HaShabbat, Tov Leodot LaHashem, that we sing on Shabbat, Friday night and Shabbos day, that was actually Adam HaRishon is the first person who came up with that song, and later David HaMelech wrote it down in Tehillim. Okay, so it's true David HaMelech, but really Adam HaRishon invented the concept of going out and singing to a Kaddish Baruch Hu on Kabbalah Shabbat. So that's a really fun midrash to know about. Another interesting note, you look in your Mizmor Shir Liyom Shabbat, and you actually read the whole thing, you would realize that it has nothing to do with Shabbos. Okay? You read it inside, I'll read the first few. This is a Mizmor Shir Liyom Shabbat. If I were writing a psalm about Shabbos, and I'm not David HaMelech, I would say you should talk about the chillant, talk about the candles, talk about singing, talk about Kiddush, I don't know. Talk about fun stuff. Thank God for all this great stuff. But what does God, what does the Marishan actually talk about? Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbat. Tov. Tov lehodot l'Hashem. U'lezamer l'shimcha elyom. It's good to thank Hashem and to praise, to sing to His beautiful name. L'hagid baboker chastecha. To recount His kindnesses. And to have faith in Him even during the dark times. And on the kapitel talks about it's good to thank Hashem and, you know, it's great to be a tzaddik, it's great to be righteous. And what does any of this have to do with Shabbos? What does Tov Lehodot LaHashem, why is that connected to Shabbos? What does that have to do with anything? Gratitude's good. And Shabbos is good. But why am I talking about, in the Kapitel Tehillim, where we're talking about Shabbos, why am I talking all about thanking God? You hear the question? So what do you think? Why do we talk so, why does David HaMelech, why does Adam Rishon focus on gratitude specifically on Shabbos? Beautiful. What's your name? Dina. Dina is saying is very profound. He's saying at the end of the week, and so apparently it's built in that this is the time of the week when we reflect back on Hashem's beautiful world that He created and all the experiences that we had, and that's the definition of Shabbos. Okay, I wouldn't have known this either, but what can I say? It's in Tehillim. Apparently, Shabbos is meant to do gratitude. That's what it's built in. Shabbos is a day of gratitude. There's Thanksgiving. It's also a good day to do gratitude. Every day is a good day to do gratitude. But from the Jewish perspective, Shabbos is gratitude day. Okay? According to David HaMelech. Yeah? So I have to say, what I do at my Shmone Esrei, I heavily recommend that you steal the idea. At the end of my Shmone Esrei, after I daven, I just take a few minutes to thank Hashem. I look back at my week and I think about all the things that happened to me. I think about having the chance to teach you girls and the coffee I had and the frisbee game and hanging out with my wife. And I literally just go thing by thing. I do it in order from Friday back to Sunday as much as I can remember. And I say, thank you, Hashem, for this and thank you, Hashem, for this. At the end of my Shemon Esrei, I do a little bit of Yigbo to do. And it makes my Shemon Esrei so much more powerful, so much more special. So I really recommend that you make that a minhag on your Shmone Esrei, maybe Friday night or Shabbos morning. Take some time to just talk to Kaddish Baruch Hu with your own words and use Shabbos as a time of gratitude. Yes, you had a question? So during Modim, I bow and I think, thank you. But I don't actually open my mouth and do and talk to Kaddish Baruch Hu because I'm in the middle of my Shmone Esrei. But at the end of my Amidah, after I said, Merech Meitzah Vashalom, technically Amidah is over. And that's actually built in to do gratitude to Kaddish Baruch. Okay? So you try to use Shabbos as my opportunity to thank Kaddish Baruch. There's a beautiful Hasidic story. There's a Rebbe. All the Rebbes are visiting their big Rebbe, the Choizen Lublin, and on the way there, they see a little kid. This little kid is thin like a rail. Looks like he hasn't eaten for weeks. He's dirt poor. He has no clothing on virtually. And he's singing and dancing. So the Hasidim are like, this is interesting. They go over to this little 9-year-old kid. They say, hey, little boy, why are you dancing and singing? So the little boy says, I haven't eaten for 3 days. So like, oh no, maybe he lost his mind, he's dancing, he's thinking, he's like, no, no, you don't understand. I came out here to complain to God. I'm a little kid. How many sins could I have done? Why don't I have any food? And after about, I don't know, half hour of complaining, I said, wait a second, but what about all the good things in my life? I have a mommy, I have a daddy, I have a house, I have this, I have that. And so after an hour, I realized I have so much to be thankful for, and I started singing and dancing. The only thing I'm missing is a little piece of bread. I'm sure Hashem will give me a piece of bread. And so they said, wow, this is a special kid. If he knows how to talk to Hashem about not only the good things, but also the bad things, but to end with the singing and the dancing of the good things. And they gave him some food, and he ended up being a great Hasidic Rebbe, Menachem Mendel of Rimanov. But it's a beautiful story. It's about the power of taking a moment to say thank you for all the blessings in our lives. So, again, Friday night, you should always do this. You should always, every Shavuot Esrei is an amazing opportunity to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Shabbos on Friday night, I always found, is a very, very special opportunity, really, to, especially if you're at the Kotel, there's no rush, nowhere to run to, talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, think back on your week, and you know, and do a little gratitude meditation. You guys with me so far? Sounds good? Okay, wonderful. All right, so we start off, L'chu nirana l'Hashem. Let's go sing to Hashem. Now, really, it's our Yeshenu. We're going to go out and greet HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we talk in the second kapitel of Tehillim. Again, I'm just doing some of the highlights because in two classes, I'm not going to have a chance to really go in depth. I'm just pointing out some highlights of each of the prayers we say on Shabbos. Shir L'Hashem, Shir Chadash. Okay, and this is something I think is very important. We need to make sure our song is new. We're singing, God, we want to sing you a new song. We don't want to just sing an old song. So let me ask you, girls, what do you think? How do you sing God a new song? What makes it not just an old song that we're singing to Hashem, but a new song? Oh, so one answer he was saying is, if we put a different intention, it could be the exact same song, but if instead of just going through the motions, I think to myself, wow, thank you, Hashem, for this, or thank you, Hashem, for that, then the same exact words, or even the same tune, could mean something totally different. Yeah, fair. Beautiful. Any other thoughts about how we can infuse our song to make it a new one? Yeah?
Kind of like every breath is a new breath. Like, it's just like every single new second. So it's kind of like new song. Like, I just appreciate
it. And so with more, just I just appreciate that life is a gift, so maybe that can give us that new feeling of a new song. And I just also add my own thing is that I think it's fun to switch up the tunes that we do. Sometimes people get into this place of like, oh, we always do this song for Mizmor LeDavid, so I have to do this song. But what if we tried a different tune? Wouldn't that make it more exciting? Wouldn't that make it more fun? So sometimes I go to Minyans where we don't stick to the old tunes. We make up new tunes, or we take other tunes and we apply it to new words just to bring a little bit more excitement and new love into the words. The truth is, you know, the Carl Bach songs, he made it up one day, you know? 50 years ago, they sang a different song. In fact, probably people didn't sing so much Kabbalat Shabbat before Rav Shlomo Carl Bach made that a thing. They would sing L'chadodi. They wouldn't sing all the other stuff. And then he said, hey, let's sing it. Isn't Tehillim meant to be emotional? Isn't it meant to be a poem? Isn't poem better when you sing it rather than just mutter it? So I heavily recommend, you know, especially if you're just davening on your own, make up a new song, you know? Think of a new tune, whatever tune you like. Listen to your favorite CD and infuse your Tehillim with a little bit more joy by putting the songs that you like into it. Yeah? You with me? Okay. Fine. I want to skip a little bit to L'chadodi. Let's talk a tiny bit about L'chadodi. Okay? L'chadodi is a central prayer in our Kabbalat Shabbat. L'chadodi. Anybody remember who wrote it? Rabbi Shlomo Alkvetz. Okay. Is it a fun way to remember that it's written by a guy named Shlomo? If you look, it says, Shin Shamor V'Zachor, Lamed, Likrat Shabbat, Mem Mikdash Melech, Hey, Kit Na'ari. So, Shlomo. You get it? So he wrote his name into the Kapitel of Tehillim. Who is Shlomo Shlomo Alkvetz? So Shlomo Alkavetz is a student of the Shulchan Aruch and many other mystics in the Arizal. And he is actually the reason why we have Friday night. He had a dream. He was a very holy person. And in this dream, he had a few revelations where it was revealed to him certain things from Hashem. And some of these we still do today. Okay? So one of them is that we should stay up all night and learn Torah all night long on Hoshana Rabbah and on Shavuot. Okay, that came from a dream that Shlomo Alkavetz had in the 16th century, 500 years ago, mystical great rabbi in Tzfat. And he had that vision, and soon it became part of the minhag, especially amongst Mekubalim, amongst Kabbalists. So nowadays, almost everybody has this minhag to learn all night on Shavuos, but originally it came from this mystical rabbi, Rabbi Shlomo Alkavetz. Also, many people stay up all night in Hashana Rabbah. They probably have like a little program here where you girls learn, I don't know about all night, but in a lot of yeshivas, they stay up all night, and that all began with Rabbi Shlomo Alkavetz. And he also had an idea about the Tu Bishvat Seder that I think we're going to do, doing a Seder for Tu Bishvat, and other Kabbalistic ideas, and he's also the one who gets this idea of doing Kabbalat Shabbat. Going to, he wrote the Lecha Dodi with a lot of deep, deep meanings, a lot of beautiful explanations. I'll share one with you, which I think I may have mentioned before, but I think it's a cool insight. So it says, we start off Lecha Dodi. Actually, before I even say that, I have to give you the main idea behind Lecha Dodi. Lecha Dodi likrat kala pene shabes nekabal. What does that mean? Lecha Dodi, come, my beloved, likrat kala. We're welcoming the kala. Pnei Shabbat Nekabal, the face of Shabbos, we're going to welcome her. So who is the bride? Who is the kala who we are with? Shabbos is the kala. Okay, this is something that's mentioned in the Gemara. Shabbos is a feminine energy. Shabbat is Lashon Nekeva. So Shabbos is considered the kala. Who's welcoming the kala? Who's the chatan? We, the Jewish people. The Jewish people are considered the chatan, and we are welcoming the kala. We're going out to greet the kala because Shabbos is this beautiful wedding. That's what's happening on Shabbos. We're getting married every Shabbos. Okay, so that's the imagery. That's the theme of the Lecha Dodi. That's why we turn our backs. The end of by Boi V'Shalom. It's like we're welcoming in the Shabbos kala, and the mystics say when you do that, your neshama yetiraya, an extra level of soul, goes into your heart. So it's a very special moment. Okay, when you go out and welcome the Shabbos, and that again began 500 years ago in Tzfat, the Arizal and Shlomo Alkavetz. Okay? So that's the basic idea. And, you know, ideally, we should treat every Shabbos like it's a wedding. Okay? And that's the idea behind the singing and the dancing. It should feel like we're remarrying Shabbos, we're remarrying a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's like a beautiful chuppah. You can just imagine, like you're getting married every Shabbos, and it's that's the ideal energy of every single Shabbat. Okay, a few weeks back, I had the zechut to be the chazan in Tzfat for one of my friends who just got married, and he asked me to come up and lead the davening. So it was really cool. It was like a wedding day, and it was like two weddings at the same time. He was getting married. He actually got married on Friday at the shul. He was getting married, and then Shabbos is getting married. So everybody just got into the boi kala wedding energy. It was really fun. So that's the ideal energy for our Lecha Dodi prayer. Cool? With me? Okay. So now I want to skip to that Shamur v'zachor. Okay, so Shamur v'zachor b'dibor achad. Guard and remember in one word, in one speech. Who knows what that is referring to? Shamor v'zachor. What is this chapter referring to? Yes, so what does Shamor bring us back to? And what does Zachor bring us back to? So Shamor brings us back to the Ten Commandments. When God said, Shemoret Yom HaShabbat. Guard over Shabbos. Okay? And this pasuk is brought down in Dvarim. Twice the Torah recounts the Ten Commandments. And in Dvarim, when Moshe Rabbeinu recounts how we got the Ten Commandments, it uses a lashon for the fifth commandment, fourth commandment, Shamor et Yom HaShabbat. Okay? But the first time in Shemot, when God says you have to keep Shabbos, what's the language he uses?
Zachor.
Remember Shabbos. Okay?
So Zachor is remember Shabbos, and Shamor is guard over Shabbos.
Okay? So the rabbis picked up on this. They said, wait a second. What does God want from us? Does he want us, did he tell the Jewish people to remember Shabbos, Zachor Yom Shabbat? Or did he tell the Jewish people, Shamor Yom Shabbat, guard over Shabbos? Which one is it? Right? Because the Torah tells it a little differently, that detail. So what's the answer? What did Hashem actually say at Har Sinai? Oh, yep. So the Gemara says, actually, God said both at the same time. As we say, Shamor v'zachor b'dibur echad. God spoke at the same time, Shamor and Zachor. Why did God do that? Isn't that kind of confusing? Right? Just say one thing at a time. It's hard to hear two things at the same time. So what's the idea? Because there are two elements to make up Shabbos. Okay? Zachor, remembering Shabbos, refers to the things like Kiddush. Kiddush is when we remember Shabbos. We do an action to make Shabbos meaningful or enjoyable. So that would be all the do's of Shabbos. The mitzvahs, like eating and drinking, all the do's, the things you're supposed to do on Shabbos. And what is Shamar refer to? How do we guard over Shabbos? That refers to the don'ts of Shabbos, the 39 malachas. Okay? So Hashem was kind of expressing to the Jewish people, you need both. Okay? You can't just do Kiddush and do the fun stuff and forget about the annoying hard stuff like Hilchos Boyer. You have to do the don'ts. You have to do the guarding over Shabbos. And you also have to do the do's. And they're both equally important. And so he said them at the same time. Adkan, everyone, all clear? You guys with me? Okay, so now we'll end with the following question. So why did Rabbi Shlomo Alkovitz do the order Shamor and then Zachor? Because in the Torah, it originally says Zachor in Shmot, and then afterwards it says Shamor in Dvarim. So it would logically have made more sense to say Zachor et Yom HaShabbat Dekat. Zachor first, and then not Shamor. But he switches it. Shamor v'Zachor b'divar achad. He says Shamor and then Zachor. Okay? So why does he switch the order? Again, if it was just me or you writing this, you would say, it's a silly question. I don't know. It worked better with the poem. Okay, but we're talking about a genius, great, mystical rabbi that put the deepest meanings into every little word of tefillah. You can steig up for hours. You can learn it just like you learn Chumash and just like you learn Gemara and Halacha. Every word is significant. So I asked. I'm not the first person to ask this. I once read a sefer that asked this question, Shamar v'Zachor, why does it Shamar come before Zachor? Why do we need the don'ts before we have the do's of Shabbos? That's my question. What do you girls think? Why Shamar and then Zachor? Yeah.
I feel like just logically, like, in order to protect Shabbos, you have to guard it first and then remember. Because if you just remember,
okay. What's your name again?
Mira.
So I'm going to say something a little similar to Mira. I like that. Anybody else have a suggestion? Why Shamor and then Zachor?
Maybe because, like, it's really nice to do, like, the positive. Like, it's nice to do, like, the good things, but, like, if you don't, like, know Zachor, you really know
Zachor. It makes it a little bit deeper. Yeah. So I'm going to say something similar to Talit Zachor. Yeah.
Also, like, the don'ts are, like, negative, and the do's are positive. To be happy and positive.
Okay.
So,
sorry.
So, like, even if you have to do the don'ts, you're going to do the first because I'm out of the way, and then the positive like energy of the do's with last summer.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to agree with all three of your beautiful answers. You see, the Torah, the Jewish people, we have it in our souls. We already can draw down the answers. And I'm just going to reiterate what all of you said. So I think perhaps the answer is that, what's it? 5 years, okay? Is the one that resonates the strongest with me, which is that if you have a lot of do's, but you don't do the don'ts, it's cute, but it's not a real relationship. Okay? So Hashem wants us to have a real relationship with him. So imagine, for example, you love your boyfriend, and so you buy him a chocolate. And then he said, that's so sweet. The thing is, I'm allergic to chocolate. I like flowers. He's a weird guy. He likes flowers. And then the next week, you go and you give him chocolate again. And you're like, didn't I just tell you I don't like chocolate? Like, yeah, but it's amazing chocolate. So then that's not a real relationship. He's not listening to what you want. He wants flowers. He's a weird guy like that. He doesn't want chocolate. Okay? So if we only do the Zachors of Shabbos, that's like, Hashem, I love you so much. Let's dance and sing and do a kavach davening, and we'll have kiddush. It'll be amazing. But then a second later, you smoke a cigarette, which some people do. I've seen that. Then it's cute. It's sweet. I'm not putting it down. I'm glad that you're davening Kabbalat Shabbat. I would never tell you not to daven. But that's not a real relationship with Shabbos Kodesh, because a real relationship begins with respect, with no. And God said, don't smoke that cigarette on Shabbat, really ever, but especially on Shabbat. So first I have to be able to limit myself with Gevura and say, 39 Malachos, I'm not going to do them. I'm going to respect the law. I'm going to respect Halacha. Then when I go and do Kiddush, it's a much more meaningful, powerful, beautiful experience. It's real. It's authentic. I really am committed to my Judaism. And so it's much more sweet and beautiful. And I think that's the idea that Rav Alkvitz is trying to get across. First, we have to do the Shamor. We have to make sure that we're doing the don'ts. And then our Zachor becomes that much more powerful. And just, I'll just, Ba'ofen Kali, in general, I think this is true about all of Judaism. If Judaism is a pick and choose type Judaism, where it's like, yeah, I did the stuff that's nice for me, that's convenient, so then, okay, it'll be nice, it'll be sweet, it's like a nice custom. And why not? Some people like lighting candles on Shabbat, and some people like going on Facebook, and it's nice. But it's not a real relationship. You're not tapping into the power of Judaism. I think Judaism really believes when you're bought into the full system, when I'm committed to this, even the hard things, even the things that I don't really understand that are kind of annoying, not really my favorite thing to do. You know, I'd rather go to the beach and chill all day on Shabbos, but you know what? First, I'm going to do the Shamar. I'm gonna do the Malachot. Then when I do the Zachors, it's a much, much more meaningful, powerful, sweet, beautiful existence. Not just on Shabbos, but all of Judaism. So, of course, again, if we're not 100% there, we're not all in Shamar, I would definitely encourage us to do the Zachors, to do the fun stuff, to do what you connect to. And hopefully that will build your connection to Judaism. So I'm never in the camp of all or nothing. But I do think at the end of the day, it's those don'ts of Judaism which make the do's of Judaism much more powerful and wonderful. So just to sum up, Kabbalat Shabbat's a lot of fun. Hope you guys enjoy the Shabbos. And it's all about bringing the Yidi Nefesh, bringing the Kaddish Baruch Hu close to us, through song and through emotion. And thank you, girls, for a wonderful class together. One second. I am teaching at